The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
We are into June, and we're continuing to grade two-star starters on the show. Joe Girardi is out of a job. That and more coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with FSWA Hall of Famer Todd Zola. Good to talk with you, Todd. Not a lot in the pickup world this weekend in our staff league. It was pretty quiet, but some news today with, as I mentioned, Joe Girardi getting canned by the Philadelphia Phillies. Jordan Alvarez got a six-year extension today. Jacob DeGrom could be nearing some mound work, and sounds like Clayton Kershaw may be on the verge of a short rehab assignment. How are you on this Friday afternoon?
Well, I'm still gainfully employed. I do not have an extension, and I'm not about to come off of rehab. How's that?
So, yeah, everybody's different, and I hear you. Yeah. The Girardi thing kind of maybe it didn't surprise me a ton, but I mean, is it obvious to you as it is me, I guess is what I'm trying to get out of my mouth, that this is just a scapegoat type of thing?
Yeah, I tweeted it earlier today. I said, it's truly amazing how Joe Girardi's defensive lapses and inability to throw strikes coming out of the bullpen cost the team so many games, you know?
He didn't put that team together.
Well, that's the thing. And the irony of it all is the man who did put it together, you know, hammered him, you know, axed him too. So, yeah, to me, there has to be some other reason. It might not be, I don't know that it's ill will necessarily, but there has to be a sense that the room, he doesn't have the room's attention, right? They're not
lost in the clubhouse.
Yeah, they're not busting their butt for Joe Girardi, that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
I wonder if he called for the bunt that Gene Segura tried to lay down.
Maybe
a fireable offense.
Well, yeah, I would. Yeah, considering. We talk every week about players that just aren't worth holding on to, even though they're really good. Segura fits that mold, right? You can't, especially in a 12-teamer, you can't. You have to get rid of him. Problem is, I don't know how hard you've had to look for middle infielders. There's not a ton of them out there. So the nature of the beast this season. But no, I don't. If he did call for that bunt, I don't know if it's semi tongue in cheek, but it could have been the last in a series of events, I suppose. But curious to see where Philly goes. Do they go inside the org? Do they look for someone a little bit fiery? You know, obviously you hire Joe Girardi for a veteran team that you think needs, you know, experienced manager in the playoffs. And at this point, that's not what this current team needs. Hmm. Right. So it also could just be a fit thing. So, but yeah, I mean, from a fantasy point of view, spoiler alert, I have a feeling that Eric and I will talk about this a little bit on tomorrow's Sirius X, it'll be Sirius show, but I'm curious to see if Sir Anthony Dominguez gets a look at closer. Curious to see if Bryson Stott gets a long look, and if there's any shaking up of the lineup, with the new manager. That's from a fantasy point of view, what I'm kind of looking at.
Yeah, it's well put, and Girardi didn't assemble that defense, and bring in just Knievel to bolster the bullpen. Yeah. So
he didn't. Bust
he was
up.
Playing with a tough hand dealt to him.
Yeah, he didn't bust up Bryce Harper's elbow. Right, he didn't shake his magic wand and have Didi Gregorius lose even more range at shortstop. We keep talking about the outfield. You know, I don't think we talk about the infield enough. As far as the left side of the infield, the poor defense.
True. And yeah, I was kind of saying that in, somewhat jokingly about, Girardi ordering Segura to lay down the bunt, but who knows? Maybe that was part of it. I mean, Segura out 10 to 12 weeks, and he was indeed dropped in our RotoWire Stake League. That's a 14 teamer. So people, no IL spots in this league. So people just not willing to wait that potentially 3 month absence out.
Yeah, I have him in the XFL, which. 17-man reserve. I was able to put Bryson Stott in. I happen to have him as a minor leaguer, but I will be looking for middle infielders. We have a reserve draft the first of each month, and that's the first Sunday of each month, which is coming up this weekend. So I'm looking to replace him. And it's an interesting league. We Jeff Erickson and I have been jostling between amongst five or six people, any of which of us can be in first place or sixth place. On any given day, it's really close. It's really fun.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And I mentioned that there's a pretty light week for fab pickups in the Stake League. Actually, probably the lightest week this season so far. Kind of a quiet one. Michael Harris was still out there in this league, so he went for 11. Then Jeffrey Springs for 6. Rougned Odor, 4. Kyle Farmer's been hot. He went for 4. Dakota Hudson, Keegan Thompson. Oscar Gonzalez is kind of interesting. He's a big old boy.
Yeah.
Franchi Cordero, James, back in the Franchi Cordero business.
Oh, no. Yeah. Intervention time.
Devin Smeltzer picked up for 3. Jake Junis. So, I mean, there were a number of pickups, but nobody really, none of that like top tier talent that really.
Yeah. Smeltzer, Junis, they're interesting. They're showing a little bit of signs. I don't know if they've got 2 starts coming up this week, but yeah, I mean, it's a different time schedule anywhere, different. Staggered differently, but even so, they're interesting names for streamers at this point. A lot of fill-ins. There was one name that I heard, I don't know. I thought I heard one hitter that was
Keegan Thompson.
No, a hitter that I was semi-interested in, but maybe I was waiting here to say Christopher Morel, but he was probably picked up last week.
Yeah, Luis, I'm forgetting his. One of the many Luises, the one on the Nationals,
Garcia.
They just got brought back.
Actually, it was one of the many Garcias. Forget the one of the many Luis. Yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested in Luis Garcia. I've always been interested in Luis Garcia. Hit the ball hard in September of last year. Thought that might carry over to this year, and he just didn't have a great spring. So I'm definitely interested in Luis Garcia.
I saw a number of Twins are going on the restricted list for the trip to Toronto. So. If you can get like Kepler and those guys out of your lineup, probably want to do that. And before we get to 2-start starters, you had a fun little activity this week with the tout table. Todd, you assembled a little crew for a Memorial Day mock draft. How did that go?
I came in last. No, I think it was fine. We got 11 touts and friend of tout to participate. We actually got through 23 rounds in about 4 or 5 days, which, as you know, for a group of this nature is kind of a minor miracle. Industry folks aren't known for their speed drafting, although you wouldn't have volunteered if you weren't going to keep the pace up. So appreciate those folks. I wrote about it in the Z Files, posted earlier today, rotowire.com/try/radio. I think you can slash just about any word in at this point.
You can do trial and
radio slash wait, we're a slash pod gets it too. Anyway, to check out that piece and everything else on the site. There's going to be an upcoming tout table that looks at it. The link, when we put the podcast out, I'll put the link out for the actual draft itself. But it was fine. It was interesting. I was expecting the NFBC to have their Memorial Day, their second chance draft, but they didn't do it this year, focusing on other things. So I kind of, whatever. Then a couple days later, I was like, you know what? Let's have the draft anyway. It's just do it by itself, whatever. So we did. And interesting. One draft, you can't draw too many conclusions. But I think if you take a look, I do think you can find players where if you disagree in a big way where the player was drafted, it's not just that one person drafted him late or whatever. It's, I mean, everybody else passed on him. So if there's someone who fell that you feel too far, maybe there's an opportunity to acquire that person via trade. If you felt someone went too early, all it takes is one person to draft a player too early. It takes the entire league to pass on a player to make him be too late, right? So if you think of it that way. So that's one of the, you know, even though it's just one draft, don't want to read too much into it. If there's a player you really surprised how far they fell, there's a chance that your league feels the same way, and that's an opportunity to potentially make a trade.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about this, the results of this mock, maybe a tool for trade targets and just kind of gauging how other people are valuing these players. Definitely check out the Z Files Taking Stock of a Memorial Day Mock, rotowire.com. And I like how you went about formatting this article because you have, you know, players falling out of the first round, Corbin Burns, Vladimir Guerrero, Shohei Ohtani, Garrett Cole, and players jumping into the first, Acuna, Betts, what a run Betts is on. Judge, who's just named, I think, AL Player of the Month, and then Manny Machado. Starting pitchers falling out of the top 10, Woodruff, Julio Urias, Bieber, and Scherzer, and then pitchers jumping into the top 10, Shane McClanahan, and he was actually the SP3 in this mock, and then Gausman and Joe Musgrove, Sandy Alcantara, so and a lot more stuff. Definitely check it out. Really, really interesting. And we had a question in the chat here. Keeper trade question. Just get to this since we have a little time. Trade Andrew Vaughn for Justin Turner and Tyrone Taylor. See, I think I'd rather have Vaughn in the keeper league than the
if it's a win now trade. I don't think I'm gonna lose sleep dealing away Vaughn if I significantly improve my chances of winning. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, all right, he's a good keeper, he could develop, but this to me is the classic try to win now trade. And I don't know the contracts, but there's a chance that Tyrone Taylor is a keeper.
Yeah. I actually just made a trade for him this morning.
Yeah.
I traded in the Mocky League. I traded an expiring Tyler Mahle for 3A Tyrone Taylor.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking at him as like, for sure a keeper, but yeah, probably a keeper.
I don't know Lorenzo Cain's contract status. I can't be very much. And even if he is still with the club, I mean, it's going to be the point where they can't be, it's not a pot committed contract where they have to play in Milwaukee.
Yeah. I think he's hinted that he's retiring.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if I'm trying to compete, I actually jump all over the trade. I don't know that you're going to get a whole lot more for Vaughn. So to me, an upgrade to Turner and then a crab, you know, shot in the dark with Tyrone Taylor. Sure. Why not?
Okay. Yeah. I think that's well put. If you're in a position of going for it, yeah, that does change things. I like Vaughn quite a bit. So I'm thinking
I could even do that in a redraft league. I think that goes without saying. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, good question though. I wanted to at least touch on that. And anything else on your mind before we get into two starters?
Let's talk about, well, the thing is, we can vamp because we're not going to be talking very long about two. It's not a very good group this week. Now, of course, subject to change, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, real quick, I tweeted, maybe this will help a little background too, just when we start to think about these things. I tweeted out May's numbers relative to other months. Strikeout rate was its lowest since 2018 in May. Strikeouts are heading down. Runs are back up, but home runs aren't up as much. I don't think we can unequivocally say that batters are making the adjustment and putting the ball in play, but it's, you know, 1 month's worth of data is certainly pointing in that direction.
Nice. Yeah, I'm glad to see as a fan and as a fantasy player who you drafted a certain way that offense is trending upward. And
yeah.
That is good to see. And I'll just say, too, you mentioned Sir Anthony Dominguez. I really think that's a good call because I mean, maybe he has the job before the weekend's out, but if not, great spec, because Knable's just, I don't know, just lost it all of a sudden. And with the new skipper in town, maybe they want to make a move to kind of shake.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, I think that those are the two obvious, at least looking to see if Bryson Stott gets a little boost of confidence and gets some regular playing time. He stole his first base a couple days ago, and if nothing else, it's a sign of confidence. So I don't think, you know, I don't know who else. I mean, I'm not going to go out and go, you know, pound the, you know, Nick Maton. Who does Philly have? You know, to, so I think it's part of why Girardi is out of a job. But anyway, so yeah, let's not delay the pain anymore. Let's take a look at these two start pitchers.
Sounds good. I will just say one more one more thing. If if you really need like a really deep closer sleeper, well, not necessarily deep sleeper, but like if you're really looking to throw a flyer. How about we circle back to Robert Suarez? Because all of a sudden, Taylor Rogers is, he's given up 7 runs his last 3 appearances and 3 straight losses.
In my draft champions, I still have Suarez. Yeah. I think he was probably dropped in a lot of places, but I agree. Now, I don't know that the change would be permanent, right? Couldn't it? It may just be.
Because they traded for Rogers, obviously.
Right. And he obviously crushed it, leading the league in saves so far. But I'm, you know, especially when you're prospecting for saves, I don't use the word prospecting because that implies looking for young kids. When you're looking for saves, you care about who's hot now or who's playing now, right? If Suarez, Suarez only going to get me 5 saves over 3 weeks. Well, that's 5 saves over 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, Clay and I will tell you who to get next, right? Mm. That's the plan. Get Suarez, get 5 saves, and in 3 weeks we'll figure out who the next flavor of the month is.
And to be clear, you know, Rogers hasn't lost the job and don't know that he's hurt or anything, but something just seems a little weird. He hit 2 batters yesterday, he gave up 2 hits and didn't even record an out. So maybe you just grab Suarez to see what happens, but I just wanted to throw that out there. Before we get into the 2-star pitchers, let's take a quick break to hear a word from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at BIOPTIMIZERS.com/balance. Magnesium breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
All right, we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with Todd Zola and getting into our two-start pitcher grades for next week, the week of June 6th already. Man.
Wow.
It goes by. And if you're unfamiliar, 0 to 5 scale, 0 being, you know, we're completely hands-off, 5 reserved to the four.
You know
the
what? You don't even have to explain two. 5 this week. You don't even maybe
there no 5. I think I'll give Nasty Nestor a 5.
Yeah, I was going to say there's going to be a 5 or 2, but there's few and far between.
Yeah, it's maybe another big week for offense coming up.
Maybe
some of these arms towing the rubber. Madison Bumgarner at Cincy, then at Philly. Two tough hitter parks, and I actually saw that Great Americans. I think Great American has a. We've seen more runs scored there than even in Coors to date. So it's really playing up for offense.
Coors is waking up, though, right?
Yeah, last, Coors is. Yeah, this Miami, week is crazy.
Miami woke up Coors and Atlanta. Yeah, Coors is waking up. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I think I just saw somebody mention that on Twitter just before the show that they're consistently going the over on the over-under in Cincinnati.
Yep.
Bumgarner, again, at Cincinnati, at Philly. It's been okay, but... with those parks, I think I'm going to go 2.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, the park is the park. It's the offense within the park, and neither of them are all that great. So I think I'm only going to go 1, but because I mean, both offenses have got some players that can play, but I'm only going to go on 1 with Bumgarner. I'm not going to go 0, but I'm going to go 1.
Okay, I got you down as a 1 on Mad Bum. Moving on, then Tyler Gilbert. I don't see any reason to consider him, but
I'll add him to the
list as a 0. Tyler Gilbert, and I'll include these with the show notes on the with the podcast when we're done. Kyle Wright just keeps it going, man. 2.41 ERA versus Oakland versus Pitt. I'm tempted to give Kyle Wright a 5. Again, I like to reserve that for the very top of the class, so I'm going to go 4, but. You know, if I'm thinking Nestor's a 5, it's pretty close, but I'm going to lean 4 for Wright.
Wright is one of the top options of the week. So if you're grading on a curve, he's a 5 this week. If we're grading kind of relative to the season, I agree he's a 4. I'm looking at these matchups though. I think these matchups bring him to a 5. I think with Oakland and Pittsburgh at home, I'm going to go 5 with Kyle Wright.
Loving riding the Kyle Wright train this year. He's been one of my big pickups so far this year. Kyle Bradish is 1-3 with a 6.82 ERA. He had a little bit of prospect hype, but I'm looking here and I'm thinking, I think I'm going to give him a 1, but I think in most cases you're probably just dropping him if you're assuming you're not going to use him here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he does have the Cubs at home, and at home is a good thing now. I'm gonna go 0, but I agree that if I'm not using him this week, I'm dropping him. He's been hit too hard and by some not good teams, so I'm going 0.
Sounds like even the Baltimore Orioles players are kind of thinking the new dimensions are pretty laughable. I think there was maybe an anonymous quote from some player who just says, you know, we all think it's kind of a joke, but I think they maybe did overdo it out in left field at Camden. Michael Wacha, Garrett Whitlock at the Angels, then at Seattle. Wacha's been great. Whitlock's been good, although Whitlock, 6 innings and no Ks. That was the weird anomaly.
Yeah.
But still a guy I think you want going. So I'm going to give Whitlock a 4, and I think Wacha a 3.
With you. Yep, I agree.
All right. He's noted here. No 2-star starters for the Cubs because they got 2 off days. But then for the Reds, Hunter Green.
9 games this week, so it all evens out.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Huh? Yeah, weren't they the weird, like, 3 2-star starters last week?
Yeah, I don't know how it worked out, but yeah, they did have, you know, that
tentatively, was it was they're projected for 3 2-star starters. Hunter Green has struggled, and he had those couple flashes against the Pirates and in Toronto where he looked good, but he's bagged his changeup from what I can tell. And as a fastball slider guy whose fastball is getting knocked around, it's going to be a tough situation for him, because if pitchers or if hitters just lay off the slider and just sit dead red on the heater, as great as the velocity is, it's a little straight. And so major league hitters can do some real damage versus Arizona at St. Louis. I think I'm going to give Hunter Green a 2. And I think I'm going to give Graham Ashcraft a 2 as well. Graham Ashcraft's really been impressive, but I need to still see a little bit more before I really feel good about signing off on him. I mean, he's been great, but the K's are lacking.
Yeah, saw Green against the Red Sox the other night, and you kind of spelled it out perfectly. If you wait him out, if you make him throw strikes, the even though it's 100, 102 miles an hour, if you know the fastball's coming, major league hitters can put it in play. I think that, you know, it reminds me a lot of Nathan Eovaldi when Eovaldi started to come up. You know, needs a secondary pitch or two, a little bit of a wrinkle to fully develop. I guess I'm going to go 1 for both of them. But I'm going to talk really fast. 1 for both. I'm going to put it off while the siren's on.
All good. Appreciate that. But no biggie. I was telling James Anderson during the XM show today, I heard a little interview with Kyle Farmer, the Reds, after last night's game. And he was saying, like, during the game, he was talking to one of his teammates, like, does Graham Ashcraft have the nastiest stuff on the entire team? And with the eye test, like, it is impressive. He's throwing 99, 100 and some movements. But again, the K's just haven't really been there. Big ground ball guy, but, and he's not a total nothing when it comes to K's, but I would like to see a few more K's and evaluate him over a little bit larger body of work before
During the Red Sox Red series earlier in the week, I don't remember which, maybe it was Dennis Eckersley. I think it was Eck was saying if Louis Castillo could teach Ashcraft and Green the changeup, they would have something. So, yeah. You know, I mean, it makes sense, but you know, you still have to be able to throw it.
I was encouraged by just how good Luis looked against the Red Sox. That's no easy assignment. So
yep.
So he looked really good. And they had a number come up during that broadcast, like most strikeouts on the changeup over the last like 5 years or whatever. I mean, nobody's even close to Luis Castillo. For the Guardians, Cal Quantrill, Connor Pilkington. Pilkington's got pretty good numbers, but he's been a reliever most of the year, hasn't he? So struck out 8.
I was going to say last start, he kind of moved himself into the you must consider category.
Yeah, he went 5 in that and struck out 8. That's really impressive. So I hadn't really paid him much mind, but I guess it is time to take note of Connor Pilkington. For Quantrill and Pilkington, it's versus Texas versus Oakland. That's what you want. So I'm going to give Cal Quantrill a 3, I think. And then Pilkington a 1. I think I'd rather have Ashcraft as a streamer over him right now.
Those matchups are leaving. I'm willing to take the shot on Pilkington as a 2 after his last start. These I'm not really concerned, you know, about the matchups.
Good call. I do worry about him. You know, he went 5 last time, but is he going to be able to get to 5? He's got to be efficient.
Both of those offenses, Oakland especially right now, but even the Texas offense, they're not scary.
Very, very true. Herman Marquez, he's on the road for 2 at San Francisco, at San Diego. But I mean, I have him in my main. Maybe I'll use him, but I'm also thinking maybe I'll drop him. And if I can get a better option, I'll plug him in. So I'm going to give him a 1 just because I could see myself. But even away from Coors, Marquez is no longer like an option you feel good about.
I agree. I guess I'm giving a 1 out of respect, but I don't know that he's earned it.
Yeah. You're doing that to not hurt my feelings too
no,
much. Marquez guy.
I've been pretty open. You shouldn't even have him on your team. But
you have been open about that for many years, actually. Now that I think about it.
Well, you have a track record that you can do whatever the heck you want.
Well, I told James, I kind of had to take Marquez. He kept falling and falling. Well, sometimes those guys are like a stale burger sitting under a you know, heating lamp or something. You just don't, you don't need to go reach out and grab them. Michael Kopech versus the Dodgers versus Texas. Tough start, nice finish. I don't, he's not a five yet, but I think Kopech against the Dodgers, I think I'm going to go, I think I'll go four. I just, he's been so good. I don't know how you can sit him here.
No, going to go four as well.
Nice. Then Detroit's got two off days, so no two-star starters for them. Then Christian Javier versus Seattle versus Miami. He's been great. So let me see how far he's been going lately into his starts. Took a no decision, only went four, but then five and two-thirds and six, two prior. And so, yeah, actually, I think this is a nice opportunity for him to bounce back after, you know, two good starts and kind of a clunker. But, again, versus Seattle versus Miami. I'll give him a four.
I'm going to say that I think that in a vacuum, it's a four. Again, if we're scaling relative to the other starters this week, it's a five. But I'm going to stick with, you know what? No, I'm going to scale it a little bit. I'm going to go five.
Okay. I think I could see that being,
I mean, again, I mean, another week, he could be the eighth or ninth best starter. This week, he's probably one of the top three, right? I mean,
yeah.
Kyle Wright, Javier, Kopech. I mean, he's probably one of the top three. We haven't talked about Nasty Nestor yet, but we'll get there.
Daniel Lynch, Brad Keller for Kansas City. So they're versus Toronto, and that's honestly about all I need to see. The second one is versus Baltimore, but I mean, neither of these guys has been great. Keller's been okay, but I just don't trust this team and don't trust this organization when it comes to pitching development, so I'll give Keller a one, but Lynch, I think is a zero until I see more.
Yep, I'm with you exactly there.
Yeah, Keller, I know you've kind of liked, but I can't justify more than a one with Toronto.
Toronto's going to make a lot of teams. They're already starting to make some rotations pay, but yeah, they are due, as they say.
Noah Syndergaard lines up for two. He had a really rough outing. He's had some really bad ones. He had an eight-inning gem in between, but then May 16th, he didn't make it out of the first inning against Texas. Against the Yankees, he gave up five earned runs on May 31st. Any concern with Thor and this kind of new version of himself?
I have not done a real deep dive. Was he throwing the slider? What's his velocities? But, I mean, I was concerned. There is concern. I mean, I can rectify it. And before I do the official ranks, I'm going to take a little bit of a look because, you know, keep in mind, he was shut it off from throwing the slider and curve during rehab last year.
Yeah.
So even if he is throwing them this year, I don't know how effective he can be with them. So I am concerned. The first start with Boston. Boston is crushing most pitchers, but once in a while, someone sneaks in and keeps them down. I don't know if Syndergaard's that guy.
Yeah, it looks like Syndergaard leaning pretty heavily on the sinker, changeup, four seam combo, mixing in the slider about 16% of the time.
Wasn't he like 40% slider before?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't just a slider; it was like one of the best sliders, right? You know.
Yeah. So Syndergaard versus Boston versus the Mets. I'm going to go three, but that feels high just off the top.
Yeah, I mean, you put another name in there, right, with the same numbers, and we're not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
But it's Syndergaard, right? I'm going to go, they're both home. I'm going to give it three, and it's because they're home.
Yeah, I'm a little reluctant, but I'll say 3-2. No two-star starters for the Dodgers, but I'm really watching Tyler Anderson tonight. Then he'll get the White Sox next week. He's 6-0, the 2.90 ERA. A good article on FanGraphs about how Tyler Anderson's changed his changeup grip. So good to see him breaking out and good find by the Dodgers. Another success story. And
well, they haven't had one for a while, at least a week and a half.
Yeah, a week and a half since their last reclamation project. Paid off. Trevor Rogers has been one of the bigger disappointments of the year. I keep eating this too, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to take him out of my lineup, but if he has another or a couple bad outings here, I'm going to have to start Probably looking at him as a streamer pretty strictly, but versus Washington at Houston. I said I'm not taking him out of my lineup, but still, I think I'll have to give him like a two.
Oh, man. He has me befuddled. I mean, he has me befuddled. Yeah. I'm gonna go one. Houston's just, I mean, he should be matchup proof in the 3-4 range, shouldn't he? At least that's what we thought.
But he was last year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna go one. I just don't know.
Yeah, I like the matchup against Washington, but you're right. At Houston's pretty scary. So I get where you're coming from. I'm just stubborn and I'm not going to take him out of my personal lineups yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have him in Otno, so I have the decision to go up and down. I don't know that I have him anywhere else. So yeah, it's not the same as Berríos because Berríos has a track record, but they're kind of similar in that you're basing it on history and expectations why they should bounce back, as opposed to Alex Cobb and the FIP, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And I just mentioned like Tyler Anderson and his changeup. It seems like the complete opposite situation for Trevor Rogers. Like he's lost his changeup.
Right, right.
And then he was leaning on his slider a little bit and having a little bit of success, but then it fell apart again in Coors. And yep. He kind of needs that slider to come along.
Yep.
So and then Adrian Hauser from Milwaukee, they've been ravaged by injuries now with Freddie Peralta out and Brandon Woodruff. Although Woodruff, I guess, said recently that he's expecting a minimal stay. So that's good news for the Brewers and for fantasy managers. Adrian Hauser's the guy we have tentatively lined up for two. Again, these are all tentative. These are our best guesses. And check back closer to Sunday for a better look at the grid with more information. Adrian Hauser versus Philly at Washington. He's been okay, but I just don't trust him. So I'm going to give him a two, I think.
Yep, with you. I'm with you there.
Okay, Bailey Ober. Are you still on the Bailey Ober train, Todd?
I'm not off of it. I mean, he hasn't done. He's been hurt, so I can't like say, "Look, I was right," or you know, like I would do that anyway. But he hasn't in the limited innings. He hasn't knocked me off yet. So sure, I'm still on it. I picked him up on this mock. It was later. I don't love these matchups, but
versus the Yankees versus Tampa Bay.
Tampa, I mean, they're a good team, but offensively, they actually strike out a ton.
Against and Franco's now pitching. On the IL.
And Franco's now on the IL, exactly. So, I don't know. I got Ober as a three this week. I can understand why that might be high, but I'm going to go three.
Yeah, I had him as a two, but I got you down as a three on Bailey Ober.
You're taking the under.
Carlos Carrasco's been a nice story this year. 6-1.
Yeah.
At San Diego, at LA. Given those matchups, LA still scares me and San Diego's been okay. So I'm going to give him a four, but maybe, like you said, grading on a curve this week, maybe Carrasco should be a five.
I may need to make an adjustment to my baseline with Carrasco. I think you're right. He's proven, he's going to be okay. I'm still going to say three, though, but I can see where I might – that might change come Sunday.
Gotcha. Check out Todd's not only the Z-Files, but the weekly pitcher rankings and weekly hitter rankings. Nestor Cortez, I'm going to give him a five because he's been so good at Minnesota versus the Cubs. I was sitting and waiting on this. I had the five all reserved for Nasty Nestor, so – I was running our earned auction values. He's been like a top five pitcher roughly. So
yeah, he may, I don't know for sure. He may end up just looking at some of the, it might be Kyle Wright, but he may end up on top of the rankings this week, unless a one start guy sneaks in just because these two starts aren't that great.
Yeah. Loving Nestor Cortez. That rotation in New York is just silly.
Tyone the other day, I mean, the near perfecto. Yeah, they're as if, we should be talking about their offense, but their pitching has been fantastic. And, and you lose Chapman, you plug in Holmes, and he's save after save.
Yeah, well, Holmes was walking a fine line yesterday, plunked Mike Trout, I think, to load the bases, but then he got out of it.
He got done, got it done.
Are you going to – I know you just put yourself on mute with those sirens, but I'm wondering if – Clay Holmes keeps that job after Chapman returns. I think it's a possibility. Cole Irvin at Atlanta. at Cleveland. The guy somehow has a sub-3 ERA. I don't know how Irvin continues to do this, but tip of the cap to him and tip of the cap to the Oakland A's, because actually Irvin's gone at least 5 in every single start. In every start since opening day, his opening day start, not actually starting on opening day, his first start of the season. Ever since then, he's allowed 3 or fewer earned runs in all those. So I got to give him more love. The Atlanta matchup you don't love, but I think I'm going to give Cole Irvin a 3. Are you on mute still, Todd? Todd, I think you may still be on mute. Todd, I can't hear you, bud. Your mic might have. There you go.
No, I'm hitting it, but I'm not hitting it hard enough. I don't want to break it. Who was the reliever? Oh, you were talking about, was it Holmes you were talking about?
Yeah.
Right when I went on mute. I forget. There was, you asked kind of a question. Not so much.
Well, I was kind of wondering if you thought maybe he would
hold on. Well, it's announced that he will. Whether it's permanent or not, I don't know. I think maybe it was, as they said, I think it was something like Chapman isn't guaranteed to get the job when he comes back.
I see.
Okay. So, read between the lines. Irvin, I've always kind of been on Irvin a little bit. And I do have him as a streamer. I'm not going to give him, I think I'm giving him a 2 or a 1, but I'm probably going to use him.
Okay. So I'll put you down as a 2 for now.
He doesn't, you kind of mentioned why. Yeah, I'll go 2. You kind of mentioned why in that he hasn't had a disaster. Does that mean he's due for one? Or does it mean Oakland, does a good job of getting him out of there before it occurs?
I do think they, I know they've torn things down, but I still consider them like a fairly smart organization. Maybe that's mistaken, but
no, I think so.
They do seem to do a good job developing some of these guys. Like Blackburn this year is
they're on the road, which I don't love.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with 2 just because it's more of a money where my mouth is and I know I'm gonna use them.
Ranger Suarez has been a disappointment for me. I wasn't expecting anywhere close to his run in the rotation last year, but I thought at his price, like around pick 200 or whatever it was, it made some sense, but it's been pretty brutal for him. At Milwaukee versus Arizona, I kind of like this 2-step, but is Ranger Suarez even a 2? I think I'm going to give him a 2, but that feels a little high.
I'm going to give him a 2 with an asterisk of that, of it's still, I'm kind of with you. You kind of alluded to it. I still have a little bit of residual. I know he didn't prove it, but I like his stuff sort of thing that I think he's going to be better. So I'm going to go on with the 2. At Milwaukee is not as daunting as it has been in the past.
Just way too much traffic on the base paths right now for Ranger Suarez.
That is
1.56 whip.
That is
22 walks in 48 innings.
Yeah. You can't, with that defense, you simply cannot walk batters. Right.
Right.
You know,
you do not want to, shoot yourself in the foot and make it harder you don't want to fight uphill with that defense behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
Jose Quintana versus Detroit at Atlanta. He's been really strong, Quintana. This one feels like a little bit of a trap, though, for me, because, Quintana's been around forever. We know who he is. He had a 6.43 ERA last year, and, over a full season, he hasn't had an ERA below 4 since, 2016? So I'm expecting quite a bit of give back over the months to come with Quintana. You like the Detroit matchup, but I'm still going to give him, I think I'm going to put him on the Suarez level. Actually, no, I think I'm going to give him one notch below. I think I'm going to give Quintana 1.
I am too. And that's 1 higher than I thought I'd ever give him.
Well put. Same, especially a couple years ago. I didn't think we'd really be talking about him much anymore. But good for Quintana sticking around. Blake Snell versus the Mets versus Colorado. So you love to see, them getting Colorado away from Coors. The Mets and Petco don't strike a ton of fear in your heart, but Snell's got a 4.80 ERA. Let's see, since he returned, how deep is he going? He went 6. So 6 his last time out and 5 1/3. Hard to know what kind of version Blake Snell is at this point, but I think I'm going to give him a 3. because mostly because of name value.
Yeah, I think
also
I was thinking four because of name value. Mm-hmm. I have to check to see if this is still holding true. Historically, lefties against Colorado, you know, when lefties at home has always been a great matchup.
Yeah, so, that's I had that in my head too.
Yeah,
I don't know if it still holds.
Yeah, up. I mean, even in a short sample, I mean, you know, at some point it has to flip. But I'm gonna go. Ooh, it's such a risky four. But I look at where I have them preliminary ranked. All these guys are just so high. But it's just because it's such a cruddy week for two start starters. It's like grading on a curve. But I want to grade. You know, normally things are such that you don't have to worry about that. But these are such cruddy ones that, you know, for the week, he's one of the top 10 two-start pitchers. But normally he'd be like one of the top 30. It's just the way they go. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give him a four.
Four. Okay.
I guess I'm combining grading on a curve versus what I actually feel.
Well, I hope it's a 4 week for Snell because yeah, he's struggled for the most part this year and again hurt. So hopefully he's enjoys a nice double dip this weekend. Here's a scary two-step for you. Robbie Ray at Houston versus Boston. Oh, if you invested in him, you've hated what you've gotten so far, and you're probably not going to like what's to come. So, you know, I'm not saying drop him, but I don't know if I can go higher than like a two.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to start a guy for two start week, why have him? I can sign off on benching Robbie Ray this upcoming week. Nolan Gorman just crushed a ball in court and Wrigley Field.
Is it a homer?
Yeah, Stroman looked really good to start the game. Mm-hmm. He's given up at least four homers, maybe more.
Jeez,
the Cardinals are getting to Marcus Stroman. Wrigley Field, I don't know if the wind is actually swirling.
Yeah.
Left to right,
I saw.
Today. Yeah. So, Stroman has been Goldschmidt got him for one. I know that, and then Goldschmidt's up again. But yeah, this is all vamping because I have no idea what to do with Robbie Ray. I'm going to say two. I mean, I could see sitting. I mean, because when his stuff is on, I don't care who he's pitching against. You know, he can strike guys out left and right, but it just hasn't been there.
Yeah, he's kind of turned back into not fully who he used to be, but he's given a lot.
I feel as though with my rankings this week, I need to do them. You know, do them what they say. If a guy's in the top 20, he's a five, and then drop him down one because it's such a weird week. Mm-hmm. You know, Ray is ranked as a three, so dropping him down one, I think, is a two.
I like that call. What about Carlos Rodon? Are you gonna put him in that five mix? I mean, I'm thinking about it, even though the second one is against the Dodgers. I just compared to these other guys we've ranked.
Yeah, he comes out in the top five overall. I haven't adjusted for innings yet and have adjusted for recent performance. I'm not quite my initial preliminary or pre-preliminary. I'm going to give him a five. I mean, you know, when he's healthy, he's still – I know he's had a couple of hiccups, but it may – my L.A. It's still a five.
Yeah, that one's – sorry, I just knocked the mic aside.
Because I'm kind of like, it probably should be a four. And is an interesting term, by the way. When we go to fantasy school, there's a chapter on but I'm going to go four. I'm going to switch it to a four.
Okay, I'll get you down for a four. I do think he's better than he's been past
– I'm waffling. Waffles.
I do love waffles. Waffles over pancakes for me all day, by the way. Dakota Hudson at Tampa Bay versus Cincinnati. I don't know how he does it, but Dakota Hudson just keeps doing it. That gets the Reds at home, and we mentioned Tampa Bay is not the scariest offense right now. It does feel like a house of cards with Dakota Hudson, but
yeah.
I have him in Tower Wars head-to-head, and I've been loving the points he's been putting up, so... I'll start him there. I'll probably start him in one other. So I guess that's a two. Maybe he's a three, but I think I'm leaning two, just given the quality of the stuff just isn't so great.
Yeah, I'm going to go three. I'm going to go three, but I understand, you know, where you are coming from as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But I mean, good pitching venues. I prefer a more dominant pitcher, but strikeouts are down. And if strikeouts are down, I don't know if they're down linearly. If even a guy like Hudson, if his strikeout rate drops, you know, proportionately, I don't know how that's playing out, but it probably hurts you less. So you said your Tout Wars team, last I checked, I know you don't like to jinx yourself, but you were doing pretty well, huh?
Yeah, sitting in first at the moment, and Ariel Cohen was putting a hurting on me this week. But then I had Cortez and Manoa and I think Hudson yesterday. So I
good.
The day before, so I closed that gap. And definitely going to be a slugfest with Ariel. I think champion a couple years ago, then Frank Stanfill won last year. I'm trying to get over the hump and secure a win. Maybe Hudson will help me get to a title. Actually, the guy opposing Dakota Hudson on Tuesday will be Corey Kluber. He gets to. So it's versus St. Louis at Minnesota. Klubot's not quite the same Klubot, but he's not bad. I kind of wish I'd gotten a share or two because he was so cheap. Total of 2 earned runs allowed his last 2 outings. He did have that one against Baltimore where we only went 3, but he's routinely going 6. So I think I'm going to have to give Klubot a 4.
Yeah, I think I'm heading there too. I mean, you mentioned the innings in points leagues like Tout Wars is, and in a lot of leagues out there, when strikeouts are down, like we're talking about, innings become paramount because they count in scoring. Yeah. Right? So it's even more important if you're not getting the strikeouts from your pitchers, get the points out of innings. So I know that we're ranking on a 5x5 scale, but it's just something to think about in general. I'm going to go 4 as well for Kluber. That Minnesota offense, it's just, it's not, I think it will click, but it's not clicking yet. And it's out, down Correa.
And Buxton's been in a real funk.
I keep thinking he's going to bounce out. I picked him the 3rd round of the mock.
Surprised he lasted to the 3rd, actually. That's probably all due to his recent slump.
Yeah, we did it on Fantrax, and when you draft in midseason, you can click the button to say not to do it, but it defaults and starts adding up the stats from opening day. And my team was in last place by a ton. And I'm glad we're in last because that means I'm going to the future. I'm drafting, I may have been too obstinate about adjusting my expectations for slow starters. So I'm not going to say it's a good thing that I'm in last. I don't think it's a bad thing if you're in first. I don't think it means that you're drafting too much based on recency bias. I just think it's just what it is. It is what it is. But one of the reasons I was in last is because I took Byron Buxton in the 3rd round.
Yeah, that'll do it right now. I do think, things will get better, but of course, you got to worry about the injuries too with him. And one last thing on Corey Kluber, just because I noticed it, in the Towers head-to-head, we get points for quality starts as well.
Mm-hmm.
5 quality starts is last 7 turns for Kluber. So another thing to consider just because, on the Rays, going 6 for a lot of guys is not a given, but for Kluber, they seem okay with letting him go 6 pretty routinely. Next up, John Gray, who I keep getting sucked in because I look at his whip and I'm like, his better days probably ahead for Gray. And he did have that 7 inning, 1 run, 12 K gem, but feels kind of foolish to go chasing after the 12 Ks. But still, at Cleveland, at the White Sox, I'm going to give John Gray a 2.
A 2. Yeah. I'm kind of with you on a 2. Derek DVR would have given him a 2.5. But we're not allowing decimals. Yeah,
my 2.5 is the 2.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 3. And a lot of that could be confirmation bias or whatever it be that I thought he'd be good going in, and I think he may be turning a corner. So I'm going to go a 3. And I'm not scared. At the White Sox, talk about another offense that's banged up.
And I kind of wonder if La Russa is on the hot seat after Girardi, although I think Reinsdorf and La Russa are like friends, so probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's been another one of the biggest disappointments in baseball this season. Ross Stripling By the way, this is completely unrelated, but Stripling used to play for the Dodgers, and I asked James this, and he said he never would have got it if I didn't tell him. You know who leads the NL and ERA among qualified starters?
It's not Ross Stripling.
No. It's a Dodger.
As well, I mean, it's got to be someone like Gonsolin if you're asking that question.
Yeah,
Gonsolin. I wouldn't have known, but I mean.
I kind of
just, just redo the question. Name an under the radar Dodgers pitcher. I mean, it was here. Yeah. Urias is having a good year, ERA wise too. But actually, Gonsolin's on some kind of weird streak, isn't he?
He's just been out of this world lately. Yeah, so yeah. But good if you grabbed him on the cheap.
It's not all backed by underlying metrics, but it's not complete luck either.
Yeah, he's popping up really high on our earned values, Gonsolin. That just popped in my head because, Stripling used to pitch for them. And for some reason, I have Stripling and Gonsolin kind of tied together historically in my head. But Stripling at KC, at Detroit, pretty good matchups, but...
At four innings and at three innings. I mean...
Yeah, I can't go more than one.
Can you trust him? I think you have to start him because I don't think he gets crushed. But I don't know that he's going to go five innings either. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what one is, So yeah.
All right, so one. Well, yeah. That'll do it. You were right that it's a pretty ugly group of two-star pitchers this week. But let's recap our grades. Madison Bumgarner, I say 2, Todd 1. Tyler Gilbert, 0. Kyle Wright, I say 4, Todd 5 this week, graded on the scale. And yeah, I mean, maybe he deserves that anyway. Kyle Bradish, 1, Todd 0. Garrett Whitlock, 4. Michael Wacha, 3. Hunter Green, I say 2, Todd 1. Graham Ashcraft, I say 2, Todd 1. Cal Quantrill, 3. Connor Pilkington, I say 1, Todd 2. Herman Marquez, 1. Michael Kopech, 4. Christian Javier, I say 4, Todd 5. Brad Keller, 1. Daniel Lynch, 0. Noah Syndergaard, 3. Trevor Rogers, I say 2, reluctantly. Todd says 1. Adrian Hauser, 2. Bailey Ober, I say 2, Todd 3. Carlos Carrasco, I say 4, Todd 3. Nestor Cortez, 5. Cole Irvin, I say 3, Todd 2. Ranger Suarez, 2. Jose Quintana, 1. Blake Snell, I say 3, Todd 4. Robbie Ray, 2. Carlos Rodon, I say 5, Todd 4. Dakota Hudson, I say 2, Todd 3. Corey Kluber, 4. John Gray, I say 2, Todd 3, and then Ross Stripling, 1. Great stuff today, Todd, as always. I wanted to say, too, I really am enjoying the pairing on MLB Network Radio with you and Eric Halterman. Eric Halterman, one of our up-and-coming stars here at RotoWire, and you guys do a great job on the show. He's taken over for me on that show, and I actually was able to catch last week's program, I guess not live technically, but during its actual air date.
Right.
And a fun trivia question to kick things off. I just wanted to, mention that I thought you guys were doing a great job.
Yeah, he didn't hit, we pre-recorded again today. He didn't hit me with a trivia question this week. That was a fun show. We're off the following week, but you can hear us tomorrow. I don't know the time. It's either 1, 4, or 7. Remember how that is. We just never knew.
Yeah,
it jumps around. It all depended upon the game times.
Yeah.
It's been good with Eric. Having to break in a new partner, got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But
you're getting that bats and you're,
appreciate
it. Like mentoring him.
Yeah. It's not a whole lot to, I just kind of let him do his thing.
Yeah.
And he's doing it well. No, appreciate that. It's been good and, miss you, but it's fine. And, I get you this hour. So, we're going to be switching over on the fantasy channel soon enough to the football crew. So, get us for the next, pretty much a month at this point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you guys will be continuing on.
Oh, we'll. Oh, yeah. While, we're going to
stay. You and I on this podcast through.
Oh, absolutely.
The end
of
the season. Yeah. I thought that was fun. And that trivia question, by the way, was which member of the 600 Homer Club played for 6 different teams, I think was the question.
Yeah.
And actually, the first name, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, first name that popped in my mind was like Griffey played for. Mariners, Reds, White Sox. Did he go anywhere else? But it was actually Jim Thome. So
I would have had to have looked up the 600 homer players, which I should know, but I don't. And I still might not have, I would have like, it's not this guy. It's not Tome. It's not this guy. And I would not have guessed it.
Yeah, I thought anyway, that was fun. And yeah, good pairing, good stuff on that show. And check it out if you can on MLB Network Radio. And come hang out with us next Friday if you can. Good luck this weekend and talk soon on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.
The headlines remind us daily the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.